here's a question to start. What do you normally put in your chocolate chip cookies? If you bake. Denise Hall has been making some chocolate peanut butter that we got the recipe from Denise Krauskopf, and they're amazing. Some people I read have added oatmeal. I saw a list that toffee bits like Heath Bar ground up would be good. Honey roasted peanuts are nice. Cooked bacon. Bacon's good in anything, so give it a shot. Those are like the additions. This is really the question. What are the ingredients that are always in chocolate chip cookies? And I heard it. Well, chocolate chips. It's in the name. You need to have those. One list states that flour, sugar, and fats are the three basic ingredients of any cookie. I'm like, that's why I like all the cookies. And I'm not here to plead. I don't want to argue baking technicalities with you. I do want to point out that some things are always included. Right? Now, we are coming this morning to the fourth in this four-part marriage sermon series. And by design, we have looked at three things earlier that we don't always include in every sermon series. We talked about singleness, the blessing and nature of being single. We talked about things that happen in the bedroom between husband and wife. And when last week we talked about parent-in-law relationships, those things. We don't always include those three. But what we're going to look at this morning, these always seem to come up. As I'm working earlier for these four messages, and I would put things in the folder 1, 2, 3, 4, and I got done with number one. I was like, I had more stuff I thought was good, but didn't really fit. So I put it in four. And I just kept adding these bits through into this sermon. And you can see on the outline, I've sorted these into five blanks, five loose ends, kind of. They may initially look like they're not connected at all. They may seem rather disjointed. But each of these five play a role, that whether it's the last three sermons or today or beyond. For the visual that we've been using this week, hopefully you can see all the loose ends are hanging out of the jar. Kind of everything that we've used is piled in there now. And some of the threads are hanging out. And those aren't technically connected, I guess. You could probably pull one out and survive. But you know what we're talking about. If you have a loose piece of clothing or something. I had a muffler. I had a knitted muffler. And I just saw this string. And I just started, she's like, stop. She said, that whole thing's going to come apart. So it takes away from me and clips it and sews it and puts it back. And I can still wear it because it survives. So we're going to make our way down through these five in seemingly unrelated loose ends. But we have to do everything we can to make sure that none of these unravel our marriage or any other relationship. Hear me when I say, you do not have to be married to apply these aspects. All of these things will hold true for any human dynamic, any relationship, any interaction between two or more people. Because you find all of these rooted in God's word. And our first one is this, clear expectations. That's where we start. How many marriages hit potholes early on because she has expectations? She expected home and married life to be just like she's experienced it for 18 or 25 or 40 years, how many years? And he has the same expectation, only he didn't grow up in the same household. So they bring two different sets of expectations of what life will be like. If, when you can convey properly expectations prior, that's going to help a lot of these little bombs from actually going off. This insert that you may have seen, you may be holding, you may or may not write on it, I made it. I like it. Okay? I had this ready to go like Tuesday. And I took it home. I run these things by Denise. She edits pretty much everything. And I said, I'm going to bring this home. And I preface it by saying, I like it. And she said, duly noted, bring it home and I will gush over it. Because that is the expectation. That's kind of a little example. This is a bigger deal. That particular three-letter word that we looked at 2 weeks ago. Somebody might have to text midday, hey, just so you know, it's only 2:30, but I'm telling you now, work has really beat me down. I am really tired, really, really, really tired. You hear me? And the text might come back and say, okay, I understand. We'll delay the festivities till tomorrow, 2 days at the latest. You hear me? You know, and then that comes back to, yes, I hear you. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Please express your hopes, expectations, longings clearly. You know, so they know what I expect. We need to be past the guessing game. You know, 20 questions, you figure it out. You know? Here's the second thread. Together is not identical. And I don't know if you've been here a long time, I'm going to tell you now, they're not all this short, okay? Usually I put the longest point at the beginning and then I cram stuff in at the end. Well, I wrote the last part first on purpose, so I'm telling you now it's longer, okay? So the points aren't going to get shorter, just so we're all on the same page, okay? And I hear that at the bridal showers, they play, I don't know what the name's called, I'll say it's which one game. Who is the saver, bride or groom? You know, who's the more adventurous, bride or groom? And I've found all they seem to always have lips and mustaches. You know, that must be the symbol for her or him. You know, who enjoys reading more? And as you go through the list, the understanding then, you realize, hey, he and she are not the same. We have talked about this aspect of two becoming one. Clearly that can have a sexual aspect. There are many areas of life where I believe that Denise and I have moved closer to our center over the years. She has just recently developed a taste for tomato soup. She has made it for me the entirety of our marriage. But when we had grilled cheese and soup, we would both eat the sandwich and only I would eat the soup until just recently. I am currently we're in a stage now where I go to bed and wake up earlier than I would prefer or than I believe I'm wired, because that's the work schedule that she's on right now temporarily. They kind of fluctuate back and forth. But we make continuous efforts to come together over the decades, but we are not and we never will be identical. You know, she is still the dancer, always will be. I am still the golfer. Therein the two shall never meet. You know, and I don't know, I don't even know if Denise knows this, but that is Norwell's 2013 swing choir national third in the nation. The only small school, that's where she went to high school. So that's the only small school to compete in place in the nationals on that year out of 16. So they continue to do well. You know, in the Bible, Priscilla and Aquila, or Aquila and Priscilla, that's when I look it up in my software, that's where it comes up. They're always together. Husband and wife. Wife and husband. On occasion, he's listed first. Often, she is listed first. Those two people serve the Lord together, alongside each other, in significant ways. They are not identical. The word that we translate unity in Psalm 133:1 is the Hebrew word yachad, which means together, but it does not mean the same. It doesn't mean identical. It doesn't always even mean in agreement. It means together. No, unity is essential in a marriage, but together is not synonymous with identical. Third loose end, hearing and being heard, which is the communication piece. Have you ever had or heard a sermon series or any teaching or any lesson on marriage that does not at some point harp on communication? You know, because it is that essential. I read where Tom and his wife Grace are attending a marriage seminar on communication and they're listening to the instructor. He says, it is essential that husbands and wives know each other's likes and dislikes. He looks at all the guys. Can you name your wife's favorite flower? And Tom nudges Grace. He goes, it's Pillsbury, isn't it? Now we're back to the cookies. But that's where I end up. You know. And I'm fairly confident that these next instructions originated in Denise's notes. Okay, she working on this with me, reading books, hey, put that in. And she gives me this statement, make I, me statements rather than giving the blame to your spouse or others. You. Now looking back, I should have rephrased the comments I made to the basketball officials yesterday. Maybe that's why he didn't hear me the way I wish that he would have. I have a problem with that poor choice you just made. But I'll try that again next year. And I know I'm looking at my notes and what I'm telling you. I'm like, man, I hope I listened because I don't want Denise sitting there going, that's not what he's attributing things to me I didn't say, and he's taking credit for things I did. I want her to be heard. You know, what is the very familiar, but it's a challenging aspect from James 1:19. There's two aspects or the three efforts, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. How good are you at giving other people time to process? How quick is your trigger? You know, how immediately does this mate go, oh, here we go again? You know I mull things over. I think about it, I run over my head, I process it, I kind of create my arguments and defenses, and then unload it on her, and that's not always fair. You know, I need to give her time to think, process the conflict, the feelings, respond. You know, I need to do the same with you. You know, there's a lot of sermons that I've created all this for weeks, and you know, I need to give you time to process and think and come back with questions. You know, sometimes, you know, somebody says, oh, said the M word, here we go, talk about money, and off it goes. You know, do we have time? Denise, I know she said this, can we practice the same acts, A-C-T-S, can we practice that same language with our spouse? We use it in reference to prayer, right, when you're talking to God. And you give those things to God as you're praying. I thought, there's wisdom in there. My wife, my kids, you know. Can I say those things this week? What I appreciate or adore, confessing what I did wrong. This is what I'm thankful for. Supplication, you know, this is my question. I'm asking this. She said, you don't just walk away. Why do we in prayer? Why do we just, we spend a quick moment where we throw something up to God and we make this demand and we just walk away without actually sitting and waiting for Him to respond. She said, you don't do that with your spouse, I hope. You don't do that with your kids. You wait, you listen, you see what the response is going to be. And we could spend the rest of our day this morning talking here on this point about communication. I'm pointedly not going to, because I want you to find, dig up, communicate, share your own material. Make some effort in this, especially if you're in a rough patch. You know, I was going to give you the cartoon where they're sitting at the table. She's at the table. She goes, I don't even think you listen to me. And on the other side of the table is the newspaper held up like this. It's not really his hands. He's made two fake hands and bolted them to the table. He's not even there. You know, and she's just talking to the back of the newspaper going, I don't feel like you listen to me. You know? And I want you to say this week, share something. Say, hey, I found this. I heard this online. Here's a cartoon. I don't care. You know, here's something that resonated with me. I think this speaks to us. What do you think? And I believe that your spouse or your child or somebody will appreciate that effort. You say, here, I'm engaged in how many ears, how many mouths? You know, two and one. Listen more, talk less, communicate. Our fourth string is forgiveness. And there is a familiar, there's a very simple verse that we share often from Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Key on that each other. Your spouse, your family is included in the each other. Are they not? Peter asked Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive the same person? Law says 3, I'll give you 7. Jesus said, how about 70 times 7? Who is the number one repeat offender in your life? If you're married, I'm going to say it's probably your spouse. Who do you have to forgive more than your mate over time? Our sons occasionally run afoul of their mother. But I have years of experience on both of them. Right? And the longer those two are out of the house, the better they look. Because she doesn't live with them, she lives with me. And I'm pretty sure that they're still making the same mistakes that I led them into. But she doesn't see them. You know, I am of a mind that they still forget to take out the trash. But she doesn't see that. She sees me. They might leave dirty clothes all over their floor, but she doesn't live with them. She lives with me. You know, they might forget to turn off the dryer or fold the laundry, but she is called to forgive me. Over and over and over. And the verse that is just prior in the Ephesians 4 passage, verse 31, list bitterness, anger, rage. Those are symptoms of what could be an underlying problem, and unforgiveness will drive me to those. Jesus has the answer. Jesus gives us the strength to release those. You know, I want to list for you 10 marital nevers that could help lessen the need for forgiveness, especially in the moment of conflict. It's from Matt Chandler. He wrote a book called The Mingling of Souls, and he gives credit to Tommy Nelson. This isn't a conflict. If you're in conflict, never. And if we go through too quickly, you can go back to the video later if you need to look. Number one, never respond to your mate brashly. Two, never touch your mate out of temper or frustration. Ever. Three, never seek to shame your spouse in public. Or in private, for that matter. This should not be an effort to shame. Four, never fight in front of the kids or use the kids as leverage in a disagreement. Five says never mention your spouse's parents or family. And I'd say now, I think in the heat of the battle, you're not going to go there. There have been some conversations that we and others have had elsewise when you're okay, you're in a good place. We got to talk about, you know, this is how I grew up. This is the way. So there's a place for that, but not in the middle of a fight. Number six, never dig up the past. Try to stay on topic. What are we fighting about today? You know, this is now. Seven, never try to win. Eight, don't yell. Use derogatory comments, verbally defame your spouse. Nine is never withhold physical intimacy or use sex to manipulate. 10, never put off seeking resolution. And sometimes we're going to succeed with those. And sometimes we're going to fail. And forgiveness will be required in the future of your marriage. I guarantee you. Or your parenting. Or your situation with teammates, classmates, neighbors. Forgive each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. And I want to take the next about 3 minutes to have you listen to what is now an older Matthew West video. The song is Forgiveness. It's old enough, it's not widescreen, it's going to be a little bit fuzzy, you know how that does it. It's not real active. He's just going to sit and stare at you for about the next 3 or 4 minutes. But the words will be there. And I kind of walked around the room. I think most of us can see them. But just listen to this song.
It's the hardest thing to give away and the last thing on your mind today. It always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they caused is just too real. Takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness. Forgiveness. It flies in the face of all your pride, moves away the mad inside. It's always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you got a right to hold a grudge, it's the whisper in your ear saying set it free. It'll clear the bitterness away. It can even set a prisoner free. There is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness. Forgiveness.
This message is over next week or later, and there's only one thing you can remember from this, it could very well be that song. You know, and I'm okay with that. Because if you're going to have a message that's stuck on repeat in your mind, that's a good one. You know? And if you're saying, I don't know how to get there, that's the last one. This is the final. This is always the central thread. Seek God. Seek after God. This is best for last. I don't care what relationship you're talking about. It matters not if you are married, divorced, widowed, single, parent, child, sibling, boss, employee, teacher, student. I always be sure you are personally seeking after God. I like this quote, Sheila Ray Gregoire. I hope when people look at my marriage, they don't think she has a great marriage because she chose the right guy. Or, he has a great marriage because he chose the right woman. I hope they realize they have a great marriage because they both choose God. When I am seeking after God and Denise is seeking after God, we naturally, inherently come together. That is what do blue and pink make? Purple. That's where we've been. The blue and the pink and the coming together create the color of royalty of God is purple. You know, Denise and I are big supporters of Emerson and Sarah Eggerich's Love and Respect. This is new for some, not for others. They have the first is the crazy cycle. You don't want to be on the crazy. Without love, she's going to react. Without respect. Without respect, he's going to react. Without love, and that thing spins out of control. They'll want you to reverse it. Let's go the other way on the energizing cycle. You know, his love will motivate her respect. Her respect will motivate his love. And the third one is the reward. And this is from, it also applies to families, and I know the words are smaller, but even for the family, parent, child, a parent's love, regardless of a child's respect, or a child's respect, regardless of a parent's love. That's the end. And all of this teaching is rooted in Ephesians 5:33. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. It's very personal. Each of you. Her own. His own. Each marriage, every family has to come to their own rhythm, their own style, their own cycle. The caution on the crazy cycle is not to avoid it. You know, nobody here is going to always stay off this, but you got to recognize it sooner. And then figure out, oh, we're crazy, we gotta get off that. You know, and they'll give instructions to help us stay on the energizing one and spin it the other way. But if you need to, and when you come to the third, you're gonna see, I think, a very powerful tool in what they call the rewarded cycle. This is very important. for those times when you feel like you are going this alone. Parent, child, mate, whatever. If at the end of the day you say, I'm the only one who's putting something into this relationship, it's very important that you see that God rewards love or respect regardless. You know? And the natural inclination is going to be, yeah, but Lord, he is not. God's going to say, I understand. I see that. Yeah, but God, you realize she's never. Again, I see it. I understand. The call in this is that I see Jesus. That you would see Jesus standing just over the shoulder of your spouse or child or maybe boss. And you got to realize Jesus is paying more attention to you than that person is. And Jesus is going to say, I know. He or she's not getting it. We both see that. But I appreciate your efforts. And bear in mind, what they have rewarded as past tense, and some of this may just be future. You know, you may not feel very rewarded this morning. You might be saying, I am not seeing ways that you're telling me God is blessing this because it hurts a lot right now. And the truth of this may vary. The only time the fullness of this is God's arms wrapping around us in eternity, and he says, well done. I know how hard that was. And I know then that is not now. That's not today. You can find yourself struggling today. Lord, you obviously see this. You are asking me to love someone who is not loving me back. And please be ready for Jesus to politely, but firmly, truthfully say, yeah, I kind of know how that feels. You can pick any one of the four gospel accounts, turn to the later chapters, find where they describe Jesus' crucifixion. I'll put them there on the screen for you. You could read any one of those four and get a sense for what he endured. You could put all four of those together and get the whole picture of how horrific that was. And please note the verbs when you read this. They flogged him. They whipped him with a whip with little bits of metal and bone. They stripped him. They mocked him. They spit on him. They nailed him. They crucified him. In the end, they stabbed him to make sure he was dead. He knows. He knows how it feels to face incredible pain, physical, emotional. How did Jesus respond to that? He went right back up to the thread we just had. Forgiveness. Jesus will overcome. Yes, Jesus will ultimately be glorified by God. That's a reward for him and mostly for us. It is not without pain. Jesus knows what he's asking. Seek him. Mark and I work together unknowingly. You're going to see a perfect response when all this is done. A song will say to seek him. Seek the Lord. Seek his reward in the marriage, home life, work environment. Seek the Lord when your coworkers and your teammates and your kids and maybe your spouse are not. Seek the Lord. He can and will uphold, sustain, renew, and reward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that we can continue to seek your leading in all things, no matter how easy or difficult it may appear at the beginning, no matter how much that task changes from what we thought it was going to be years ago. We know that there is much that can go into any relationship, be it a marriage, parent, child, neighbors. There are things that we can control. We pray that we can have our eyes locked on you for that which is beyond our ability. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.